Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John Murphy, Steve Tasker, and a brand new Tuesday guest for us. Happy to have him. He is the host of Good Morning Football on NFL Network every morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m., part of the Chicago Bears preseason television crew, former Jim Rohn Show producer. Happy to have Kyle Brandt on the line with us. Hello, Kyle. John Murphy and the great Steve Tasker here with you in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us.
I am thrilled to be here, guys. I'm flattered to be invited. I was going to wear my Daryl Talley spiderweb sleeves, but they're in the dry cleaners. It doesn't matter. We're talking about the first place Bills. And Steve, as only you would understand, it's football season, so we're all fired.
That is perfect.
You're fit right in now, I can tell.
That is perfect. And, you know, I got to tell you, too, we bring you in here because we kind of get our noses on the grindstone, and we're talking about our Bills all the time. You kind of have this national view of everything. Give us a synopsis. This was a pretty good weekend one of the NFL, wasn't it? It was pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, last night was an instant classic. That Saints-Texans game was unbelievable. It had everything you could want. But I got to say, even though we're here in New York and we're looking all the way across the country, I felt like a Raider fan last night. I have never rooted harder for the Oakland Raiders in the post-Antonio Brown nonsense to go out and win, to prove it ridiculous as it was. I wish they would have won by 5,000 points last night. Right. But I had a silver and black spike shoulder pad going on because I was so annoyed with the spectacle, with the ridiculous drama, the way that the Raiders, from top to bottom, stood by this guy and endured him and apologized for him, and I think actually kind of embarrassed themselves in doing it. And then he publishes a video celebrating like a child when they release him. So I was all silver and black last night. I loved that game. It was an important thing for the Raiders, and it was the last game of the week, just perfect. And I just, that chant that the Raiders fans were doing, which was very profane and normally I would frown upon as a father, I was doing it in my living room last night. Great night for Oakland.
And with the kids in the other room. Kyle, on the Raiders and on Antonio Brown, yeah. You know, the feeling here among some in Buffalo is it was all planned. This is exactly what Antonio Brown wanted. Didn't want to play with a kind of a dysfunctional lineup in Oakland and wanted to wind up on a good team like the Patriots. How much of that do we believe? What do you think?
It's a crazy time to be alive, right? You know, a lot of people are comparing it to Randy Moss and another Raiders receiver that the Patriots got. Randy Moss did not have a YouTube channel at the time. There was no brand. There was no tools with which to use this. If Antonio Brown showed up and said, I'm not feeling this. I don't know. I don't like Derek Carr. I don't like John Gruden. I gotta get out of here. It's absurd. I mean, I've been in relationships before where you don't want to break up with the person, so you just kind of act like a jerk and you don't pay attention to them and hope they break up with you. It's lowbrow. You get over that when you're in your 20s. You don't do that anymore, especially on a professional level. And frankly, in a move that cost Antonio Brown, what is it, about $21 million? You better make sure this works.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that you can't get your head around. And certainly he has made it known when he was in Pittsburgh still that, hey, the money's not important to him anymore. So you got to think maybe, and that's where it kind of takes you to this. You think, maybe if the money's not important to him, what's left to do? Well, it's win a championship. And if there was a place that you wanted to go to win a championship, there's only one place everybody can talk about where you're going to have a shot every year, and that's New England. We've seen New England. How smart do they look? They offered a high couple of draft picks to trade for him to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh didn't want to do it. And I think maybe, could you just see in that conversation, Pittsburgh picking up New England picking up the phone with Drew Rosenhaus and saying, oh, okay, it's not going to work out, but if down the line in 6 months you want to make that, we're thinking about this number. So if everything goes to, you know, goes away someplace else, this number's waiting for you. I could see that.
That's here. It's the classic move. It's you're interested in a woman who is spoken for, but if you ever break up with them, here's my phone number. I'll be here. And right. The question now is, I mean, certainly as it relates to Bills fans, is the thing going to work? Right. Is AB on the Pats going to work? It reminds me, if you go back to the 90s, when in the middle of the Chicago Bulls dynasty, they decided to bring in this wacky power forward from the San Antonio Spurs named Dennis Rodman. And I remember everyone at the time said, this is crazy. You don't want to break up the chemistry. Here's what the Bulls had. They had the head coach, Zen Master. Patriots have that. They have the alpha leader in Jordan. Patriots have that. And they have the whisperer. The Rodman whisperer was a guy named Jack Haley who would calm him down. I think Julian Edelman is that for the Patriots. He's already doing things on social media saying he and AB are Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson. Like, right. White men can't jump, okay, money train, right. That type of stuff. I think they're equipped to do it. What's the impression? Let me ask you guys. Let me turn. What's the impression there in the AFC East with Buffalo getting to play New England in a few weeks? Well, do you think it's going to be Randy Moss part two, or is this thing going to explode?
It may. And here's what I think. If it goes smoothly, if he straightens up and flies right, and it's a love fest, it was all planned. It had to be all planned. Now, if they're just kind of sitting on him and he starts to whine, if he's the third option for like 6 weeks, if he's not getting to play, if he doesn't get the football when he wants it, if all this stuff doesn't go exactly the way he wants it, and he starts to act up, then I'll say, okay, yeah, it's just him being, and they're going to try and sit on him. But if it goes smooth as silk and seamlessly, this had to be all contrived.
Yeah. Kyle, my take is, you know what, it's just whatever, Patriots. I kind of Saturday when I heard the news, I just threw up my hands and said, whatever, Patriots, you're the Patriots. You do what you got to do.
Well, from the way
we've
looked,
seen it before.
The way they looked on Sunday night, Kyle, they don't need him.
That was the question at Sunday night, Monday morning was, all right, well, we just beat Pittsburgh by 30 points. Do we need him?
Right.
And my response to that is that, you know, the Golden State Warriors didn't need Kevin Durant. But he's Kevin Durant. I don't think the Patriots need Antonio Brown, but he's Antonio Brown. If the three of us guys were to go to a Mexican restaurant and we have the enchiladas and we got the chips and we got big frosty margaritas, we don't need the tableside guacamole cart. But when it comes over, we're going to take it because it's the tableside guac. That's AB. And I think they'll find a way to use him. I do find it interesting. Carson Palmer was on Good Morning Football this morning. And he spoke, with respect to the tableside guac, he spoke strictly X's and O's. He said, I don't think it's going to be a fit. I don't like AB with Brady because Brady's whole deal is I need absolute precision. If the route's 15 yards, you can't be at 14 and a half. That's the way Brady operates. And AB is kind of a floater. I'll do it here. I'll do it here. It's what made Roethlisberger call him out last year. AB, you got to cut that route flat on the goal line. That's why I threw an interception. So Carson Palmer's take was, on the field, it is not a fit.
One thing I got to ask you, I'm going to move on. I can't take any more.
Sure.
AB.
You're supposed to be throwing up.
Yes. Not on air, but yes. You did the Bears preseason. How much of a shock was it on their opening game when they looked so flat offensively?
It was terrible, man. I grew up in Chicago. I had Walter Payton bed sheets. I have a lot of love for that organization. I walked out of Soldier Field after that Bears-Packers game down that beautiful lakefront, about 72 degrees. It was a funeral march. It was a really bad show. It's not that they lost. It's not that the Bears lost to Aaron Rodgers. They lost 27-24, a tough game. It's that they didn't show up offensively. Now, Bills fans could relate to this in their own way. For me as a Bears fan, for my entire adult life, it's the same conversation, different beer, which is, man, that defense looks great. Quarterback, though, I don't know. Seems like maybe a head case. You could go to Cutler, of course. You could go to Rex Grossman, on and on and on. One of the biggest questions, guys, not only with the Bears, with the whole NFL, does Mitch Trubisky have it? Because the defense is ready. The coaching staff looks great. In this night, he did not have it. I mean, it was 3 points. It was a lot of this, what you're seeing here. It wasn't even close. I was there, and it was like the Chicago was hosting the Olympics. It was the opening kickoff of the NFL season, NFL 100 season, and they didn't even have a bronze medal. It was the rusted aluminum. It was a tough, tough day.
The Russians ran off with it. Yeah, I get it.
Kyle, they really did.
Are you saying Trubisky is a bit of a head case? Is that what the issue is with him, do you think?
I think the question with Trubisky is, great athlete, make the throws, run around. I don't know if he has the dog in him, for lack of a better expression. I don't know if he is a mental warrior. I don't know if he can look at Aaron Rodgers and be like, don't worry, I got this. I mean, this play we're seeing here, this was the biggest throw of the game. It wasn't even close. And he gets intercepted by one of his former teammates, Adrian Amos. It's yet to be seen if Mitch Trubisky says, don't worry, guys, we're down 5 with 3 minutes left to play on our own 25. let me go to work. I don't know if he has that yet. And yeah. I can't say that he doesn't. We just don't know, and he didn't in the opener.
Yeah, and we saw it last night from two guys, both Deshaun Watson and Drew Brees, yeah. of course. I mean, both those guys showed up. Was the Bears opening day a bigger shock to you than the Browns opening day?
Oh, man. That's a tough question. The Browns, I think, had the worst debut in the entire NFL. Miami, obviously, were terrible. They didn't have the expectations. The Steelers went into Foxborough and got killed by the greatest dynasty right now in sports. I can see how that could happen. The Browns losing at home by, what, 3-4 touchdowns to the Tennessee Titans was terrible. And yet, guys, one of my least favorite days in the NFL calendar was yesterday. It's what I call Overreaction Monday.
Yeah.
Every team's terrible or every team's going to the Super Bowl. I am not jumping off the Browns bandwagon. I remember a year ago, think back to the 2018 season, week one, Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers went into the Superdome and hung 48 points on the Saints. Weird things happen in week one. I mean, this goes back years. I remember clearly the Lawyer Malloy game, Buffalo versus New England, where the Bills week one looked like they were going to the Super Bowl and New England had nothing together. We see it all the time. So are the Browns going to go 13-3? I don't think so, but are they going to absolutely fall apart? Too talented, too many good players. I'm not jumping off based on one butt kicking from the Titans.
We're on the line with Kyle Brandt, host of Good Morning Football on NFL Network. You said something interesting about Mitchell Trubisky a minute ago about you're not sure if he has the dog in him. Does Josh Allen have that dog?
Does Josh Allen? I don't know yet either. I wouldn't say, yeah, absolutely. We haven't seen it. I know this. He made some big throws in the fourth quarter on the road to start the opener. I know he's fearless, which I like. I mean, we've saw him do things last year, even early this year, with complete disregard to his own safety and anything. Now, maybe that's a problem, but I like it. A guy who comes back down from that much in the second half in the season opener has definitely had some dog in him. Now, I'm not saying that he's Joe Montana or Jim Kelly, but he has the flashes of it. This was big, guys. And isn't it nice to be on the other side of one of these heartbreaking losses, to do this to the Jets? You wouldn't believe what's going on here. I was in Manhattan this morning. What's already going on and all the radio shows and all the newspapers, the knives are already out for Adam Gase.
Yeah.
The headline that ran after this loss was counting the days until pitchers and catchers report for spring training. And the baseball season isn't even over yet. So isn't it nice for Buffalo to just sub that to somebody else? Great, great win.
Yeah, it is. And the Bills did it as we kind of suspected they would, although without the four turnovers, the defense really showed up. And we knew it would be maybe as good as last year, but, wow, it looks way better even than it did a year ago. And it was good last year.
Well, I think all you want – listen, if I'm a fan, I know week one can sometimes be ugly. It's a weird week, especially with the state of the preseason right now. Here's all I want. I want to play some defense because the defense can come around faster than the offense. I don't want to have a ton of penalties. And I just want to survive in advance. There's no pictures in the box score. I don't care what we have to do if we score 3 points or 80 points. I just want to survive in advance. And my image of that game of watching Jets versus Bills, the one image I feel like is Sam Darnold just standing there looking, rolling out, looking some more. I felt like he did this all day, where the secondary, I guess, was just all over him. And here he's getting sacked, but there were some times he had time and there just wasn't anybody there. I'm sure you guys have seen that stat. It's the strangest stat ever. This receiver, Jamison Crowder, who had 14 catches and didn't have 100 yards, the amount of people who have done that in NFL history is zero. 14 shots to Jamison. Incidentally, I think Bills fans will be doing 14 shots of Jamison in the parking lot next week. But that's a different discussion.
That is correct. That is correct.
Hey, Kyle, we were remarking over the last day and a half here on our show about how, look, the Buffalo offense only scored 17 points, but the newcomers made big contributions. The offensive line, the rookie Devin Singletary, John Brown, Cole Beasley. That's got to bode well for the rest of the season, right?
Singletary is so exciting, isn't he?
Yeah.
Florida Atlantic, the rookie, small, undersized, but popping off these big runs. And I'm sitting there watching him run down the sideline. I'm like, I guess they made the right choice with Shady. I respect LeSean McCoy and his talent, but expensive, older, maybe not as good. Look, running backs are turn and burn. You want to have the young, cheap running back who's got a burst like this. I mean, this is a very exciting – this is the kind of thing I feel like that Bills fans will buy this jersey. They'll get behind him. He's not this first-round draft pick. He's got the cool name. He goes by Motor, come to find out. He looks really good, and it's between him and Gore. There's this funny dynamic I think can work. He looks great. I know he's going to get the ball more this week.
You know, we've been talking about these teams for months and months. All these question marks are starting to get answered. Some of them seem to be answered with an emphatic, wow, look at that. That game last night, the Monday night game in New Orleans, Deshaun Watson, wow, he looked really – and, of course, we expected it from Drew Brees, although I didn't think Drew Brees was going to be able to come back 37 seconds with one timeout to get a 58-yard field goal. What a game that was. And those two teams really showed up in a big way, and their expectations, even Houston in the loss, their expectations aren't going away.
Yeah, you know, there's no such thing as a quality loss, a moral victory, and I know that players especially frown on that. But, God, that was a great game by the Texans, and it was a great game by Deshaun Watson. The problem is that I feel like Deshaun Watson is kind of crafting sort of a brand of the he was prolific and incredible and still lost. I mean, it goes back to college to the first Alabama loss. As a rookie, Deshaun Watson went into Foxborough and went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady, still lost. Last year, loses in the playoffs. And there's also a sense – I hate to this topic because it's such a downer, but I watched Deshaun Watson – I get excited and I get nervous because I look at him just getting battered all over the field, diving, flipping. It's not sustainable. I mean, he spent more time in the tent last night than he did in the pocket. It's week one already, and he's grimacing, grabbing at his back like me in the first tee box. I love watching him play, and it was an instant classic last night, but I need some Deshaun Watson on the field, guys.
We're with Kyle Brandt from NFL Network, host of Good Morning Football. I want to ask you about Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, and we don't know how much credence to put in that huge victory in Miami. The Dolphins that bad, or are the Ravens really that good?
That's a great question. I think it was Baltimore versus FIU down there, and I would encourage all Dolphins fans. I believe that Alabama plays Texas A&M this Saturday night, and you should watch your future quarterback. His name is Tua. I don't know what to make of Lamar either. You know, they kind of hit us with the rope-a-dope because in the whole offseason, there was all this talk about Lamar that they were crafting this secret offense around him. And they were even looking at film and studying things like the triple option and the wishbone. And they were going to do all this stuff. And then he shows up and it was just throw it all over the field. If you really want to, if for the diehards that really like the game tape and the All-22, I don't know what Miami was doing. It looked actually like they had seven or eight players out there on some plays. The safeties are nowhere to be seen. This Marquise Hollywood Brown, who we're seeing here, became only the second player ever to have two touchdowns on his first two touches in the first quarter. It was a track meet out there. I think Miami really looks the part of 1-15. Baltimore, we'll see. I mean, I think that they didn't need to bust out the whole Lamar experiment because it was just so easy. Week two, we'll find out, but we use the term watchability a lot on Good Morning Football. Guys who have watchability, obviously Mahomes, I think Baker Mayfield. Right now, I think number one on the watchability rankings with respect to Devin Singletary might be Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, look, and there's word coming out now that the Dolphins players are standing up looking around saying, get me out. They can smell that the tank in the air. And the players in the NFL, it may fly in some other sports, but – it's hard to ask a guy to go out and go through some physical duress and, you know, and some physical exertion and risk for a team that's not trying to win. If it goes bad in Miami, it could go extremely bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, you get guys saying, screw it. I'll be out there, but I'm not really trying. I could break up that pass. I could make up that tackle, but maybe I'll mess up my shoulder. I better just let him go. The player's perspective is really tough because they didn't make any decisions. They didn't decide to do it. I was looking at it from a fan perspective. Fans rolling their eyes about we're going in the tank. Look, the worst thing you can be, I think, in the NFL is about 6-10 or 7-9. I mean, wouldn't you not make an investment 1 year as a fan, not a player, to really stomach the 2-14 and get the draft pick and change everything, then gut it out and go 6-10? There are worse things than having a really, really bad season. The way this NFL works, guys, it's all set up to make them better. Nail the draft picks. It's going to be a long year, but if I was a Miami fan, I'd buckle up.
Hey, Kyle, give us a preview. What's coming up tomorrow on Good Morning Football on the network? What do you got?
Well, it's Wednesday. That means we turn the page. And Wednesday, as always, we're going to the next week, and that will include, of course, looking ahead to Bills Giants that Steve and I were talking about off the air. It's a tricky game, isn't it? I mean, the Bills versus the Giants, they go and play New York, and everyone thinks, well, New York's garbage. Eli doesn't have it. I think it's a very, very tricky game because right here in Manhattan, New York, the Giants are getting a lot of heat for not playing Saquon a lot, for not feeding Saquon, a ton of it, which means I think there's going to be a ton of Saquon Barkley in the game next week. I think he's the best back in football. I actually don't think it's close. I think he really is the truth. And if you don't want to be seeing Saquon coming off a week of we didn't get him the ball enough, which means he's going to get a ton of touches, the Bills defense better be ready to roll.
Right. I agree with you, Kyle. Thanks for coming on. It's great talking to you. We'll look forward to next week as well.
Love the show, guys. Anytime. Flattered to be here. You would understand that, Steve.
He did it again.
I love it. Love it. Part of the family now.
He's one of us. Kyle Brandt, the host of Good Morning Football on NFL Network. Tomorrow morning, every weekday morning, 7 a.m. He's also a longtime radio producer, Bears preseason television crew, and a good guest. We're going to have him on Tuesdays, every Tuesday right around this time.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.